you heard outside the Baltimore Beltway. This guy listens and contributes and sometimes gets into some conversations with us from over near Melbourne, Australia. He is a multi-award-winning writer and the creator of TBL Daily over in Australia and the biggest Orioles fan that I know of in at least that continent of Australia, if not outside the United States of America and North America. We welcome Dan Clark back on. He is at Dan Clark Sports out on Twitter, and many follow him for his Orioles and Ravens love. But right now, dude, you're not even, like, into the Ravens yet. It's too preseason-y for you. You're very, very focused on the Orioles right now, man.
Yeah, I had to listen to the game, the Ravens on the weekend, but yeah, it's all Orioles at the moment, mate. And I guess as we're floating around 500 and flirting with the playoff position, it's pretty exciting times. Let's see how we go, I guess, down the stretch.
Well, I think we all look back on the trading deadline and we thought, Ellickson, Beckham, we don't feel like we're going to win the World Series, but they certainly this weekend, and you know, after Britton blew the save last week, I mean, there have been times where it's felt very gloomy. The one thing that hasn't happened is no other team has made the Orioles feel gloomy. No one's gone out to chase the Yankees or the Red Sox Chase being better than three or four games above or below 500, and you know, it's sitting there for them right now. It's Labor Day week. They've got mostly a healthy roster. I mean, Hardy aside and where Britton is with his leg, and they got home cooking here for the next 10 days. I mean, if they become the hot team, they put themselves in the driver's seat at Labor Day.
Yeah, and I think that's probably adding to the frustration from certainly the fans I'm engaging with. And you know, the team's good enough. They're just inconsistent, and it's amazing that if they had have just been a little bit more consistent throughout August, and you know, probably weren't as bad as they were June, July, that'd be comfortably in a wild card position. I think that's what's causing the frustration. At the same time, as you said, no one's pulling away in the American League, and you know, they're right in with a chance. This 10 game homestand is crucial. They've got the Mariners and a whole heap of games against division rivals, and if they can win, you know, if they can go 7-3 on the homestand and then head back out on the road, they could see themselves in playoff position as they depart Baltimore next.
You tweeted on July 19th, if the Orioles do go on a big win streak and somehow make the playoffs, you will run down South Charles Street nude. This is my neighborhood, by the way.
Yeah.
Draped in an Australian flag. I think I still have the big yellow and green kangaroo here that our friend sent my wife when she was battling cancer. It was to honor the Aussie World Cup team a few years ago.
Yeah.
But we may have that too. Kangaroos, you know, bring in some wallabies. I don't know. I mean, I have half Australian blood because I love your country. So I would participate in that. I certainly would say the odds are better today than if I would have had you on the show last week, right? I mean,
yeah.
I said to Luke on Sunday, I'm like, you know, they might win a little bit now. I don't know. I mean, I they've given us no reason to be particularly, you know, optimistic about them. Certainly not the pitching, but the six-man rotation thing they're trying right now, the way Machado's hitting the ball right now, you know, Scope coming into his own, Mancini, I mean, I think at some point even Chris Davis will participate in this over the next couple of weeks. But it's pretty obvious to me that barring an absolute collapse for them, they're going to stay in this a couple of more weeks, and that's fun. I mean, that's good for everybody.
Yeah. Firstly, I mean, how did I know you're going to raise that tweet that I may end up regretting? But if they do it, I'll honor it. I'll fly across and
if they make the playoffs, you're not going to regret it, man.
Not at all. Yeah.
That. Dude, I did this 20 years ago. I shared the pictures with my mom last week, but you passed. Yeah. I ran in my underwear. The reason I did it for Hooters, the Balls. Balls doesn't exist anymore, but Hooters is still here.
Yeah.
The reason I did it is I said on the radio for years that Baltimore would never get another NFL team. Like, once we lost expansion, I said I would run naked from Hooters, the Balls. And I said this, Dan, I bet I said it 50 times on the radio. You know what I mean? If someone would call and they're like, and they'd be drunk, and, you know, be like, hey, you know, like, we're going to get a team back one day. And I'm like, we're not getting a team back, man. Like, yeah. I will run naked. But I didn't do it naked. I did it in tighty whities. I had cabbies throwing $20 bills. We did it for Ed Block. So it was like, you know, so look, man, you come in and do it. We'll do it for the Houston residents or whatever. We'll find a cause.
Yeah, I agree. And I've got a few who have already offered to jump on board as well and run around with some Terrapin flags and some Ravens flags, and I think we could make a day of it.
Well, you should do it in the spring, man. I mean, I wouldn't do it in October. It's a little chilly here then, you know?
Yeah, that's true, but then again, it's chilly in spring when I'm there as well. It's just what I'm acclimatized to. I think I'm going to be cold either way, mate. But,
All right, well, yeah, you're a tough Aussie. I know that about you.
You're yeah, right but back on the back on their resurgence, I think the two key names that you didn't mention obviously Tim Beckham in terms of, you know, how hot he's been, and then Adam Jones as well. I think people are forgetting that he's hitting about 320 in the month of August. So he's come real good, and he's on track for, I think, his most home runs since about 2013, I think it was when I last checked. So you're right, you know, if these guys can stay hot, Gausman's pitching a lot better, Bundy's pitching, you know, reasonably well. Helixson, you take the good with the bad, I guess, as you do with Miley and the rest as well. So Jimenez, if you can get every second or third start out of him, if that can be good, and then if you can keep us, you know, close enough in the other games, they're a chance. And as you said, they just need to get hot. Whether they can do that or not, whether they can play consistently enough to you know, to get into that wild card position, I'm not sure. I think they went 18 days earlier this month without winning consecutive games, and they just can't afford to do that. You know, they need to string together a big streak. The series over in Boston this past weekend was really encouraging. So I guess it's the signs are there that maybe something's coming soon.
Orioles outscored the Red Sox 25-4 over the weekend. Now Seattle, Toronto, New York. We're on the line with Melbourne, Australia, and Dan Clark. He is Dan Clark Sports out on Twitter and at TBL Daily. He is the world's biggest Orioles fan, not in Baltimore or around here. We bring him on a couple times a year and usually chat us up a little bit. Sometimes we even get some Ravens into the conversation, but pretty focused on the Birds right now. Dan, I've been at this a long time, right? So, my first Orioles season was 1972. My first season with a press credential was 1986. My first year on the radio was 1991, 92, and every year it's a big story here in the off season, and certainly into June and July, the trading deadline, who's going to win, who's going to lose, who's going to get the best player. But it's never really about that. It's about what does that player do once they're acquired. And we've seen great long-term deals, like the Rangers making the deal with the Phillies a couple of years ago when it looked like they weren't in, and they wound up in, and they're still getting quality starts, you know, from that deal, the Cole Hamels deal. But the Beckham deal, in all of my life, man, like I'm going back 45 years of baseball watching, I have never seen a trade that felt relatively innocuous. You know, they're bringing over a guy who was a failed number one overall draft pick.
Yeah.
He struggled. You know, why would Tampa want to give him away? Tampa was 4 or 5 games over 500 at the time. I mean, they were, like, thinking they were in it. And, you know, this guy, all he's done is come out and hit 500 to start, then 400. And to your point, he doesn't roll off my tongue as a factor, but, you know, that deal was the factor in August. And Swaggy T on the back of these crazy Jetsons, hideous pajamas they were wearing over the weekend. There will never be another trade like that, dude. Like, in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like a one-month sample size from a deal, even a deal where if you would have dealt for Machado or some, you know, dealt for a real player, to put those kind of numbers together for a month, just unprecedented. Really amazing thing, man.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess the obvious follow-on to that is, where would this team be without him? You know, I reckon they'd be. Oh, I don't think we'd be talking about playoffs, would we? He's been absolutely sensational. You know, to hit nearly 400 over the span of time that he's been with the team is incredible. And I think a lot of people forget. You know, Tim Beckham. He hadn't played many I think he'd played about 240 games, I think, before he came across. So he's still relatively young, and you know, I guess he's just still finding himself. And maybe this was the change he needed. And, you know, we see it, I guess, we see the bad end of it with the amount of pitchers who seem to dominate as soon as they leave Baltimore. But maybe we've finally picked up a win here. Maybe we've finally got one where he's found the self-belief and he knows, you know, what he's capable of. His approach at the plate's great. You know, he uses the whole field when he's hitting. He's the amount of time he stays with the pitch and goes off. Oh, it's really impressive. So who knows? You know, maybe this is the Tim Beckham that did go number one overall and he's just finally blossoming. We can only hope.
He is Dan Clark, Dan Clark Sports, out on Twitter as well at TBL Daily. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nah, I just said we can only hope.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dan is over in Melbourne, Australia. He follows all things Orioles. You know, so this homestand, they've been such a good home team. But the Red Sox weekend, if we're still talking about this baseball team 3-4 weeks from now, and they're playing these crazy games, we're all over in London, running around with the Ravens on September 24th and that whole week. And we're, you know, we're watching the scores like you are from halfway around the world. We'll look back on this weekend against the Red Sox and say, wow, they, you know, that was a weekend that brought hope to all of them to say, well, you know, maybe they can. Maybe if they get to October, they could win a game. Maybe they could win a couple of games. Maybe some breaks would go their way.
Yeah.
Maybe Wade Miley would find a way to get out of every jam in every inning. But you know, certainly for one weekend, at a time when the season could have gone totally away and none of these other teams want to win, they find themselves sort of unwittingly in the middle of a really, really good pennant race with seven baseball teams. It's incredible.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, when we went to Boston, we were 3 games behind 500. They're probably about 4 games, 4.5 games out, whatever it was. You know, if they had have dropped that series, it's all over. You know, I think it's amazing how things can change in just 3 days, and that's a testament, I guess, to how close the league is in the wild card race this year. So who knows? You know, if they can beat Boston in Boston, sweep Boston in Boston, then you know, they're capable of matching it with anyone. It's again, it all comes down to that consistency and whether we can get that consistent starting pitching and whether the offense can, you know, consistently put up 6, 7, 8 runs a game to get the job done.
How about our boy Alex Wells? You got a fellow Aussie in the Orioles chain pitching at Delmarva. Any thoughts at all on that? Because I mean, I know some folks have a chuckle when they hear your accent. You're a guy with an Australian accent talking the language of baseball. And, you know, I go back to the Graham Lloyds and many others who have, you know, come from your homeland over here to play baseball. And, you know, it's not that unusual. Baseball is played in Australia. Certainly, I was in Sydney a couple of weeks before the Dodgers came over there and played a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, guys like Liam Hendricks, who's having a reasonable season with Oakland. We saw him last week as well, and when they're over on the West Coast. So he pitched, I think it was 4 times against the O's in 7 games out of the pen there. So there's a few floating around in the majors, and there's a few more in the minors. Alex is having a really good season again. I had a chat with him earlier, I think it was probably in April or May. And he was just telling me how much he's, you know, he's really loving it over playing within the organization. He hasn't got amazing stuff. He's got really good command, really good control of his pitches. Works the corners, doesn't walk many. I think he's walked 10 batters all year. He struck out 113 when I was checking this morning. So, you know, the guy, he's whips under one. His ERA's, you know, hovering around 2. He's doing everything right. How he goes,
but it's a different level, you know. I mean,
correct.
I can only get so excited about Delmarva. I love when pitchers do well. I mean,
you
know, I'd love nothing more than to be wearing green and gold and having kangaroos and having you here in your Australian. Well, I mean, you got to wear a flag, right?
Yeah.
No underwear. The flag will be.
Yeah, I gotta wear something.
I can't get you arrested over here. I'm not making bail for you, Dan.
That's true. Otherwise, I'll never be able to get back. But you're right. Yeah, you touched on it. Yeah, exactly spot on. You know, we love seeing him do well with Delmarva. But what happens next? You know, he'll probably start next year. high A, and I guess see where he goes from there. But look, he's doing everything he can at the moment. He's certainly made a name for himself. I think he pitched something like 35 innings in a row scoreless throughout the year. He's two-time All-Star in the level he's playing at. So he's doing everything right at the moment, and I guess we can only hope that that can continue as he progresses.
I see the Sydney Blue Sox in his history. That's pretty cool, right?
Yes, that's his local team here in Australia.
How many local teams are there in Australia for Alex Wells types to pitch on?
There's six in the Australian Baseball League. So that's in the semi-professional league we have here. I think they call themselves professional, but it's semi-professional. And then we've got community baseball, which most of us baseball nuts play once a week.
Dan, always great to have you on. Always good to visit. Hey, man, are we going to get together again when I get back from England, say September 28th, 29th, 30th? Are we going to be talking about, a one-weekend sort of free-for-all for the Orioles to get that wild card? Do you believe that?
I think we will. I'm back in the team. I think there's too much talent, certainly from an offensive point of view, to miss out on the playoffs, especially when it's such a mediocre year in the American League. So, yeah, I think we'll be talking in about a month's time, seeing him in that wild card position, if not better.
Well, they have a very weird end of the road schedule. Dan, great checking in with you, man. We're going to send everybody out to follow you at Dan Clark Sports.
All right, thanks. Good to speak to you again, man.
He's a good man. He's over in Melbourne, Australia, not Sydney, Australia at all. And Alex Wells is from Newcastle. That's a town I spent the night in. So I actually have I've crashed one night at the Ibis in Newcastle, New South Wales, after seeing Springsteen at the Hunter Estates up in the hills where they make the wine. Wine, wine, wine. But Dan Clark can be found at Dan Clark Sports, as well as at TBLDaily.com. He's over there in Melbourne, Australia, and he does a turn watching the Orioles every single night. Hopefully we're watching the Orioles over in London. If you are going to London, we're throwing a party on the Saturday afternoon from 11 until 3 at the Fox at XL. It's the Docklands area in East London, very close to the Emirates cable car. We're going to be doing the Purple Sky March over the River Thames to the O2 Arena at 2:52 on Saturday afternoon, of course, to honor our New Orleans parade. Speaking of New Orleans, all sorts of weird storm stuff going on with Houston this week. The Ravens going back down to New Orleans. My weird...